Welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Perlman. My guests are Abby Lyons and Jens Wenberg from the Ithaca Health Alliance. Abby Lyons was appointed executive director of the Ithaca Health Alliance in May of 2012. She has also been in private practice teaching in somatic education and non-Western healthcare. In addition to her nonprofit healthcare work, she also serves as a cantor at Ithaca's Reform Temple. And Jens Wenberg is a board-certified physician assistant and board-certified HIV specialist. He is currently a volunteer at the Ithaca Health Alliance's free clinic. And welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Now, Abby, I want to start with you. You've had many interests. You're a cantor at the local synagogue, and you've studied non-traditional medicine. What made you join the Ithaca Health Alliance?
Well, I first joined the Ithaca Health Alliance in 1998 as a member of the Alliance, and I was a member for many years until we disbanded the membership in 2011. I have experience, as you mentioned, as a health educator and a non-traditional practitioner, mm-hmm. or I should say as a complementary healthcare practitioner. I did an internship at Cayuga Medical Center as a chaplain during my cantorial training, mm-hmm. Where I got to look at the healthcare system from a very different angle than I had before. And I also have been a free clinic volunteer at two other free clinics. So for me,
it was like
becoming
a natural transition.
Executive director was a way that I could bring all of those things together.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Well, what about you, Jens? You've been in healthcare for a while. What made you get into it?
Well, I went into healthcare late in life, and I spent 8 years in Harlem Hospital in New York City, working at the infectious disease clinic with patients who had HIV. Mm. And then after that, I retired, and my wife and I wandered off to Africa, where we spent the next, 6 years, half-time, helping them start HIV clinics.
Wow.
And then I realized I was done and came back home to Ithaca. And so it was a question of where could I use my skills that I had developed, and went down to the Ithaca Free Clinic and looked and saw what they were doing and said, wow, I can do something here.
Oh, that's great. Oh, I love it when people will volunteer their expertise and services. Now, let's paint an overview of the Ithaca Health Alliance. It was founded in 1997, is what I understand.
And
tell us what was the philosophy behind it.
Well, the impetus for founding of the Health Alliance was because there were people in this community who either themselves didn't have health insurance or who knew people who didn't have health insurance and were struggling to find ways to take care of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a grassroots initiative of people trying to find creative ways to make healthcare more accessible mm-hmm. for everyone.
And basically it serves people who are underinsured or not insured at all.
Yeah, correct? Our mission is to facilitate access to healthcare for all, with a focus on the uninsured and underinsured.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know it has three different initiatives. One of it is mm-hmm. the free clinic, which we're going to discuss right now. Tell us what the free clinic offers, and Jens, I want you to talk about your experience at the free clinic and to tell us what kind of people come in there for help and what kind of services you offer.
Well, let me start with the kind of services that we offer. We have a medically integrated clinic, so we offer primary care with our physicians, physician assistants, and nurse practitioners. We also offer some allied services such as occupational therapy, nutritional consultations, mm-hmm. and we also have holistic services such as acupuncture, herbal medicine, massage, and a few other services that we offer actually at the free clinic.
Uh-huh. And these are all volunteers that
all of our providers are volunteers.
That's amazing to me. Well, Jens, tell us what some of your experiences have been as a physician assistant.
Well, coming to the Ithaca Free Clinic, I had worked much of my medical career in Harlem, where the people were absolutely very poor, non-Medicaid.
Mm.
And so they had health care coverage of sorts. And it was not the best, probably, but it was certainly adequate. And so coming to the Ithaca Free Clinic, all of a sudden, it's a whole different population.
Yeah, I imagine.
Because, again, the people who are extremely poor have access to Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who are well off have access to insurance. But there's this gap in between of people who, well, they have too much money to get Medicaid,
yeah,
and not enough money to buy insurance.
Yeah.
And so that was the big difference.
Are you often seeing middle class people?
And, oh, it's all, yes.
Obviously,
oh, yes.
Middle class people, but working class people.
Working,
as well.
It's uh-huh. People who have jobs, but don't have their job does not provide health insurance.
God, it seems so amazing to me that we still have people who need help like this. And what kind of patients come in, though? I mean, what are they seeking? Just general health care?
Well, probably the most common thing is somebody that hasn't seen a doctor in 10 or 15 years.
Mm.
And they come in with an acute illness of some sort that they need help. And in the process, they get their blood pressure checked. And lo, it's sky high. And you ask them, you know, what about, oh, yeah, 10, 15 years ago, I was diagnosed with high blood pressure, and the doctor gave me medicine, but then I lost my insurance.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a prescription, and the medicine ran out.
Wow. I mean, it seems like such simple stuff, and it can lead to such catastrophic health mm-hmm. problems, which is unbelievable mm-hmm. in this rich country of ours. Now, if somebody does need more care, like the high blood pressure has turned into, you know, near stroke, or, you know, somebody has diabetes or something, how do you coordinate something like that? Do you work with people who will work with poor people in the hospitals and so on?
That's very difficult.
Mm.
Our system is not set up to give health care to people who don't either have big bucks to pay for it themselves or have insurance.
Yeah.
If you want to go to the convenient care center, you better have $125 in your pocket.
Oh, that's unbelievable. So, Abby, how do you coordinate this, though? I mean, if Jen sees somebody who has high blood pressure and he thinks they need to see another practitioner, are you the person that has to help coordinate that in the community?
I'm not. That's our clinic coordinator, mm. Valerie Fritz Randolph, and her small army of volunteers who help facilitate those kinds of referrals. We have a program we call Clinic Without Walls, where we work as hard as we can to develop relationships with providers who can't volunteer their services at the clinic for whatever reason, doesn't work with their schedule, or in some cases they have specialized equipment that we don't have the facilities to handle. So we try to arrange referrals as much as we can. We have very limited resources in that regard.
Oh, I'm sure.
And yeah. I was talking to one of my staff members about this question because you had mentioned you wanted to hear about that. The term he used for what people do is patchwork. They come to us and we help them where we can. We might be able to refer them to one kind of provider but not another. That referral might only help with part of their problem. In some cases, people delay care because they're concerned about the cost. And in some cases, we just got a call today from a woman who said she and her husband have the same prescription, and so they get one prescription and split it.
Oh. Doesn't it break your heart when you
yeah.
meet people that you really want to help and there's no way you can do it because of the resources and the money? It's beyond belief.
Well, often one of the differences in our practice there is the fact that we will do things that in a normal office practice you would say, oh, golly, let me get a cardiology consult. Let me get mm-hmm. some sort of other doctor involved and mm-hmm. not worry about it. And since if we don't have someone that we could refer to, or in some cases it's the fact that a person that we could refer to will take one or two patients a month, and we've used our quota, then there's a question of, okay, what can we do right now with the resources that we have? And that's what we do. We go back to the old way of doing it as the old doctor used to do it, except that we don't have a horse and cart anymore.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Well, let's talk about the Ithaca Fund. I mean, doesn't that tie into, you do have some resources that you can use to help people. Tell us
about
that.
So the Ithaca Health Fund was our first program of the Alliance, and it was a way of the community funding some of those needs for the community.
Mm-hmm.
When people had a health care need that they couldn't pay for, and it fit into a category that the fund could assist them with, and they met the income guidelines, they could get funding. This was done through a membership. You had a membership, mm-hmm. and you met the income guidelines, and then you were eligible to apply for this funding after you've already had already gotten the care.
Ah. And how is this fund funded?
Well, it was funded through the membership. We did find it necessary to disband the membership in order to receive 501c3 designation from the IRS. Mm-hmm. So we're in the process of making some changes to the health fund, and we're hoping to relaunch it this spring. There won't be a membership requirement. There will still be income requirements to apply for funding in the categories that we can offer. And we've had to cut back on what we can offer because of the lack of that funding. So we're going to start out with a few categories of emergency care and urgent dental care.
I see. So when you have your nonprofit status, are you going to be able to get grants for some of this?
We have our nonprofit status.
Are you going to be able to get grants?
Yes, we are able to apply for grants. That was really important for the long-term financial sustainability of the organization. But it's a bit of a transition right now as we are transitioning from having a membership to relying at, well, we've always relied heavily on community donations.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We still do.
Do you do follow-up? I mean, if somebody comes in who has diabetes, do you follow up and make sure that they're taking their insulin or whatever they're prescribed? Can you do that at the clinic?
My doctor doesn't do that. We do follow-up. We will give people, for instance, I will see somebody that has high blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will evaluate that and make a decision as to what the medicine should be that I think will bring it down into an acceptable range. And then I will ask the patient to come back the next week for a blood pressure check,
uh-huh.
with the idea then that we'll see if it worked, and if it does not, then we can make modifications. Of course, I have no way of guaranteeing that anybody's going to come back.
Yeah, right. So it is their responsibility to come back and follow up. Yeah,
but,
just
but
like
yes,
in regular
we do,
world.
That's
true
we do
for everybody.
Exactly.
We do follow up as much as anybody in the healthcare system in the United States does.
Yeah.
And so that we do see people regularly who have diabetes, and we do regularly see people who have high blood pressure and other chronic ailments. One of the issues, of course, is the fact that the normal thing in a normal doctor's office is that you would do various blood tests.
Right.
If we don't have a laboratory, and if we send somebody up to Keuka Medical Center to have blood drawn, the blood drawing itself is, I think, $18. And then beyond that are various tests that are run. The question then comes, who's going to pay for it?
Yeah.
We hope that Abby is able to generate enough money so that for our regular patients, we can assist them if that's what they need.
Yeah.
But often it means that somebody has to spend a fair amount of money, considerably more than the insurance company pays, by the way,
mm-hmm.
to get the blood work so that we can evaluate and see if the medicine is working.
Wow. Did you want to say something, Abby?
Well, we do have some funding from the Legacy Foundation for some laboratory work. That's been a real boon to our patients and our providers, but our providers can't just write as many lab orders as they wish. It's it's something that everybody is always weighing.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you this too, because this seems to be such a concern in the general medical communities for many years. What about malpractice? How do you deal with that when you've got a population that might be undereducated as well as undertreated?
When you're asking about malpractice, do you mean malpractice insurance
coverage?
Did
you worry about treating people because of the possibility of malpractice?
Well, we've always had malpractice coverage for our providers.
Mm-hmm.
Up until recently, we've been paying for that coverage and fundraising to meet those bills. We've been very fortunate that in June of this past year, we were accepted into a program through the Health and Resource Services Administration, the Federal Tort Claims Act free clinics program. Mm. And so now all of our medical providers, our social workers, and our nurses are all covered through this program without cost to us.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
That's been a big help.
I would think you'd be worried a little bit about not having access to tools to treat people, and then they might come back and go, you know, I ended up with this or that.
I don't think of that at all.
That's great.
Part of it is, I think, that's very important is that at the free clinic, we develop a relationship with our people that come in. And so that relationship is an I-thou relationship mm-hmm. of we are working together to get your health as best we can.
If you're just joining us, my guests are Abby Lyons and Jens Wenberg from the Ithaca Health Alliance. Now, did you want to continue what you were saying?
Well, it is just the fact that this relationship that we build and the fact that many of the people, I would say, that we've seen have already researched their ailment on the internet.
Oh, wow.
So they're knowledgeable, and they also know that we don't have the resources. And they also know they don't have the money to go up to convenient care or to go to a private doctor. And so the combination of their understanding where they are mm-hmm. and the relationship that's built, I've never had any thought that anyone would charge us with malpractice. And Abby, isn't that the case all through the country that no one has ever sued
a free clinic?
I don't know if I can say with authority, but that is my impression.
I don't think I've ever heard of that happening either. I'm just wondering how people navigate that, because there's so many people who are so eager to do malpractice now, and you at least you hear it all the time in regard to medical establishments and so on. Yeah. But let's talk about the education programs that you offer as well. Tell us a little bit about them.
Well, the education program was started before the free clinic with the idea that an important part of healthcare is self-care.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've offered free education programs since 2000, actually.
2000, mm-hmm.
And we're continuing to do that. We do try to offer programs that relate to some of the needs that we're seeing at the free clinic.
I would assume so, yeah. So do you get practitioners to volunteer their time for those as well, or do people have to pay to go to those?
No, the programs are free, and we also offer a free quarterly educational newsletter.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us what some of the things that you've actually covered: diabetes care, nutrition. What kinds of things do you offer?
We have had nutrition workshops. We've had. Last year we had a workshop on healthy heart. And another workshop were given by one of our free clinic physicians, Dr. Martin Ginsberg. He also did a workshop on medication pitfalls, which is pretty important for everybody.
Oh yeah.
And that's an important thing to mention, that these workshops are not only for people who come to the free clinic or who use the health fund. They're for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great service.
Everyone needs to be.
Do you find, Jens, that a lot of people don't know a lot about their bodies or their conditions, and they do need to be more educated on?
Oh, well, I mean, always. I mean, yeah. I don't know everything about my body, and I'm supposed to be a professional.
Yeah, but it seems like people are really undereducated about it. A lot of people are.
Well, I think that it is. It's always an issue, and that's one of the things that we do in programs, but it's also part of the whole structure of the clinic. We are not limited to a 15-minute appointment
mm-hmm.
where you're mm-hmm. pushing hard to see the numbers so that you can make the money to keep your clinic open. I let Abby worry about getting the money. And all I have to do is to see the patient. And one of the things that we always look at, one of our vital signs is their smoking status.
Mm.
And so I will look at that and add my two cents to what the nurse has already done and what the checkout person's all going to do as a total thing of pushing on the education of the various things that will improve the health of our patients.
Yeah.
And we did have a program on smoking cessation this past year, and we're actually pretty excited that we're going to be able to, in partnership with the Cayuga Medical Center's Center for Healthy Living, offer a tobacco cessation support group this year.
Mm, that's great. That's really great.
So we're really hoping that we can make a difference.
Yeah. And the campaign against smoking has worked quite well, it seems to me. I mean, I don't see people smoking in bars, obviously, but when I was growing up, people were smoking everywhere, even in hospitals, remember?
Mm-hmm.
It was unbelievable. Well, let's talk about the general state of healthcare, though. Do you guys have any notion at all whether Obamacare is going to help alleviate some of these problems we've been seeing? Does anybody...
Well, let me put it this way. It will definitely make a difference for some people. It's not going to fix it for everybody.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The earliest estimate that I heard of how many people were still going to remain uninsured in this country was 26 million, and I've heard ones that were higher. It's going to be somewhat different state to state. New York State has some really good insurance programs mm-hmm. already. Definitely there's gaps because we're seeing those people. But one of the big features of the Affordable Care Act is the Medicaid expansion. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of questions about which states are going to do it and which states are not. The programs that we have in New York State with Family Health Plus already are covering a lot of the people who would be affected by the Medicaid expansion. Hopefully, though, having it be one program will make people a little bit more aware that they might be eligible for coverage. And there will be subsidies for people who do not have employer-sponsored health insurance to help them purchase insurance. But from our experience, we hear stories from people about how they have to decide between health care and food,
rent
and things like that. And it seems clear that that will still continue to be a problem for some people.
Yeah. Well, what about the talk we always hear about people not being able to get insurance because of pre-existing conditions? Is that going to change
at all?
That's
one thing that the Affordable Care Act is definitely making an impact on in terms of people are not going to be able to be denied. That doesn't mean that they'll have that their premiums won't be higher.
Exactly.
And I can't speak to a lot of the details of how that's going to work because I don't really know. And there's a lot of things we don't really know. We're
until
supposed
they start
to have
kicking in, yeah.
An exchange set up in New York. Well, there's going to be 5 regional exchanges in New York State, is what I understand, and those are supposed to be up and running by October when people are supposed to be able to start open enrollment.
Mm-hmm. So and, we just have to wait and see what happens.
We're going to have to wait and see what happens. Also, the coverage that's going to be offered on that exchange is going to have a lot of coinsurance. So I might be able to go to the exchange and buy a policy, but I might have 60% or 70% or 80% coinsurance, which, you know, if I'm basically healthy and I'm doing all right, you know, I might have to pay a couple hundred dollars extra a year to go see the doctor and have some lab work. But if I have any kind of major
problem,
health problem or I have to have surgery, it can be quite expensive. So
it's still
there's still going
to
be
about.
A problem. And, you know, we don't know exactly how it's going to affect us. Neither
you're
do the hospitals
the
and the nobody knows exactly how it's going to affect everyone.
Yeah,
so But our mission is going to continue to be to facilitate access to health care for people who are uninsured or underinsured.
Yeah.
And I think that there will be quite a few people who are underinsured. And there's also other barriers besides whether you have insurance. Just because you have insurance, can you get in to see a doctor?
Exactly.
Do we have enough doctors in this area of the state to serve all the people who will suddenly have insurance?
Yeah, we don't have enough specialists. I know that's for sure. I want to ask you this, too. Traditionally, a lot of Western medicine has scoffed at, you know, non-traditional medicine like acupuncture and so on. And is there more of an acceptance for that now? Or are people coming around to seeing the, you know, some of the good results coming from some of those alternatives?
Well, I think because the National Institutes of Health has been doing some research that there have been some double-blind studies that have shown effectiveness for acupuncture in particular.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know about some of the other modalities, but I am aware of those. And I think that, you know, different providers have different levels of comfort with it. And to be fair to those who are not so comfortable, if they don't really understand and know how a modality works and what impact it could have on their patients and how it would relate to their medical care, then it's hard to know if it's okay to refer someone.
Yeah.
One of the things that's good at the clinic is that the providers know each other.
Mm-hmm. We're getting close to out of time. Do you want to add something about a practitioner?
I just wanted to add to that little piece that one of the things that is done in the clinic is the fact that our herbalist is right there, and he will come in and see me and say, isn't this something that needs medical care rather than what I need?
Uh-huh.
And similarly, I can say the same thing to him, and in fact, for myself, I end up taking various herbal preparations because I have found, actually based on some German medical studies, that they work just as well as the high-priced pharmaceutical.
Oh, I believe it, too, and we are almost out of time. Can you tell us a little bit about if somebody wants to volunteer, some contact information and so on?
Sure. A great source of information is our website, www.ithacahealth.org.
Mm-hmm.
On our website, you can sign up to volunteer. You can apply to be a volunteer. You can make a donation. You can read all our newsletters and annual reports. You can find out more information about all our programs and about volunteering. Our phone number is 330-1253. Our walk-in clinics are Mondays from 2 to 6 p.m. and Thursdays from 4 to 8 p.m. And our holistic and specialty services are available by appointment on those days and also on Tuesdays. And the third Tuesday of the month, we offer pre-employment physicals to help people who are trying to get work and need a physical exam and a TB test.
Well, great.
By appointment.
Great. Well, I recommend people get involved with this. This is a great organization. Thank you so much for being there for people. My guests have been Abby Lyons and Jens Wenberg from the Ithaca Health Alliance. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Our audio producer is Nate Richardson at Rep Studio in Ithaca, New York. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega. And we are a sponsored project of the New York Foundation for the Arts. Tax-deductible donations are welcome at artspire.org. That's artspire.org. And visit us online at outofboundsradioshow.com. I'm Tish Perlman. We'll be back next week.